records being set, historic events taking place every single day, eye-popping data just pouring out. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. The 25th day of January, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. COVID-19 is already literally everywhere. So the idea of stopping the spread is just silly and ludicrous. And once you account for that, it's hard to think of a blue-collar job that's less likely to spread the virus all over than a truck driver. They just drive their trucks all day, all night, by themselves. They're not around other people more often than anyone who runs normal day-to-day errands. But our tyrannical governments also know that truckers are independent-minded people. And a lot of them have refused to get these shots that they're pushing. These shots being falsely referred to as fully approved, FDA-approved, safe and effective vaccines. And that makes these truckers a target. In Canada, 2 weeks ago, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau imposed a vax mandate for any trucker driving across the Canadian-US border, which tens of thousands of truckers do every single day. A few days later, Chairman Biden thought that would be a great idea and imposed the same rule for truckers coming here. Just like the order to vaccinate the entire healthy military, this isn't about stopping the spread or saving lives. This is about control. This is about compliance. This is about forcing subservience. This is a flex. And these governments see truckers as a group that they can boss around and force to get the vaccine and thereby break the resistance of the rest of the population that's holding out against getting it. Of course, the truth is there's a lot of truckers who can afford to take a break to avoid this mandate. Just take the time off. And they will. And keep in mind that we're already going through major supply chain issues. You've heard about them. They've been in the media. We've had whistleblowers here. Maybe you've seen the effect in your own stores. There's less of everything to go around. Stuff takes longer to show up. Mechanics and handymen have longer wait times for the parts that they need to fix your vehicles. There's huge price increases for raw materials. Our supply chain is in big, big trouble. And now the government is going to intentionally make it worse for the sake of these shots. You know, it's funny to think back when we started all of these tyrannical communist lockdowns. They said that it was necessary because otherwise society would come to a crashing halt from a tidal wave of disease. There'd be so many sick people in our hospitals that they would die choking in the hallways, and all the sick workers would cause our critical industries and infrastructure to break down. Well, here we are. Our industries are breaking down. And it's not because of any disease or any virus. It's because of the thuggish tactics that they're using to fight the disease that they created and intentionally released after it was chimerically engineered in a Wuhan, China bioweapons lab. Justin Trudeau says all that worry about supply chains and shortages in the middle of winter is just fear-mongering. Well, he's about to find out how real the fear should be. Martin Brodmann is organizing a Canadian trucker convoy. They're planning to drive thousands of trucks to Ottawa to protest this mandate. They've raised over $4 million to help cover the gas and hotels and other expenses, and they're vowing to seriously ruffle some corporate and political feathers. This convoy, this caravan, broke a world record. But yet the media has remained completely silent, all of them. Not one media outlet has reported on this world record caravan heading directly at the Canadian government. Hopefully Martin Brodmann can explain all of this for us. He joins us now. Thank you, Martin, for coming. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to give you a quick rundown. First of all, thank you so much to be on your show. I watch your show regularly. I'm a supporter of your show and the audience, and appreciate to be here today.
Thank you very much.
First, I'd like to state one thing. It's not me or Truckers United who organized the convoy. The convoy, Freedom Convoy 2022, initially started with Pat King, and then James Bader, my partner in Canada Unity, joined forces, and I'm the vice president of Canada Unity, and I'm also the president of Truckers United. We started that movement together, and just within a few basically weeks, this whole convoy came together, and like you stated earlier, has broken the world record already. Our mission, our combined mission, is to get to Ottawa to end this unlawful mandate. That's one of the elements, and bring the law back to Ottawa. From a trucker standpoint, when I look at the CTA, they released a statement yesterday that they don't support convoys like this. They make the statement that convoys like this are dangerous, etc., and will further crush the supply chain. My question is, you do cross-border crossings, unvaccinated truckers then have to self-isolate for 14 days. So not only you take money away, which they can earn, which trucker, which small business, which medium-sized business can afford to stay, have the trucker staying home for 14 days? And with this isolation process, what kind of a nonsense is that in the supply chain? It creates even a further elevated supply issue when you have truckers staying home for 14 days.
I mean, this all seems like common sense to me.
Exactly.
And now you have, like you mentioned, this world record caravan. This convoy is longer than any other caravan ever in the history of the world. It's a world record. $4.5 million raised to support this. I'm reading right now from Rolando Lapaggio. Colorado, 420 trucks. Georgia, 675 trucks. South Carolina, 650 trucks. California, 19,000 trucks. They're all headed to Canada. The United States truckers on their way to Canada to help in this as well, because this is an entire North American issue. How is the media ignoring this, and why?
In my opinion, in my humble opinion, in our opinion, the media, like the governments act today, are driven, I call it, from Mr. Global. I stole the name from Mr. Global. I stole that from Rainer Fulmig, a very well-known attorney in Germany, a human rights activist, which formed the whole coalition around the world to fight this evil. And I refer to as Mr. Global, like him. So Mr. Global has done a very great job over the last 18, 19 months to divide people, divide businesses, divide friendship, divide families, with a purpose behind, seems to be seen, but there's definitely something else behind.
Yeah, the media is completely dishonest, in other words.
And money driven. I think that's the biggest obstacle. I think they all bought. Lots of money was given here in Canada to mainstream media. It seems to be money is no subject for the cause.
Meanwhile, in addition to everything that you just mentioned, we're torturing kids, we're taking them away from school, virtual learning indefinitely in some places, we're breaking up marriages, they're causing unprecedented amounts of people to take their own lives, committing suicide. The depression is going up. The small businesses' doors are closing. Everything is being taken away from the very blue-collar workers that are the backbone of the North American economy, and that includes both Canada and the United States of America. It's interesting to me that the media ignores it. We know why, because they're 100% dishonest. What about Prime Minister Justin Trudeau? Has he ignored this as well, or has he acknowledged that these trucks are coming for him?
Well, like I stated earlier, and to my knowledge, he went on vacation. To my knowledge, the Senate went also on vacation. So my question is to Mr. Trudeau and the Senate, do we even have a government? That's what it boils down to at the end of the day. Do we have a responsible government for the people? Or are we just guided, or we have health authorities under the Health Act, Department of Health? Are they governing the country and the people? Can be. That's why we go to Ottawa. I get numerous phone calls every day since this movement started, and since we started Bearhawk 2.0, which I believe reached now international levels. I get phone calls from nurses. I get phone calls from mothers crying on the phone. They don't know what to do anymore. Nurses which are vaccinated, which are working, and they can't comprehend anymore the system we are in.
What's going to happen when all these trucks show up in Ottawa? Physically,
it's going to be a huge bear hug. It's going to be a huge, huge bear hug around Ottawa. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to go there and stay until we get to the table. We have an MOU, Canada Unity, James, and my partner James, myself. And I have to give credit to that as well, to my actual business partner, Jack, which was instrumental in forming that document. We have strict mandates to lift all this unlawful regulations which were put in place.
And we're gonna, if the media does acknowledge this, be prepared for them to call you domestic terrorists and insurrectionists and all of these other things. That's what's going to happen. But instead, what you're looking for, in reality, the truth is you're looking for a seat at the table. You want your voices to be heard, because up until this point, they have not been. Even when you put together a world record caravan, your voices still have not been heard by any of the media, completely ignoring all of this, and we will not do that. We're going to follow this, and I want to check back in with you as you get closer to Ottawa. Martin, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but also millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all your support. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products now, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We are offering the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regularly $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive these exclusive offers. Thank you and God bless.
Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is doing a lot of work, really brave work, actually, to expose and highlight all of the unnecessary injuries and deaths inflicted on our young people by these vaccine mandates. Overreaching, tyrannical, communist mandates that are doing nothing to stop this disease. And it wouldn't matter if they did, really, because young people are at virtually no risk from COVID. A few weeks ago, Senator Johnson had military flight surgeon Teresa Long testify on Capitol Hill about the effects that she has seen in the military firsthand. Yesterday, attorney Thomas Renz appeared before Senator Johnson at a roundtable, and the numbers that he was talking about, the data that he exposed in front of that panel, was jaw-dropping. Look.
Substantial data showing that we saw, for example, miscarriages increased by 300% over the five-year average, almost. We saw almost 300% increase in cancer over the five-year average. Cancer is not being talked about except for by Dr. Ryan Cole. Thank you, doctor. We saw, this one's amazing, neurological. So neurological issues which would affect our pilots, over 1,000% increase. 1,000.
Well, thanks to Teresa Long and other doctors like her, thanks to people like Thomas Renz, we're continuing to collect all kinds of stories of what's really going on in the military, completely whitewashed by the media, ignored completely by Fox News Channel. Soldiers who were perfectly healthy are now battling heart problems. You heard Thomas Renz, miscarriages up 300%. Senator Johnson gaffed, neurological issues for pilots up tenfold. All for a virus that our soldiers, sailors, and airmen are at near zero risk from. They're almost all in their 20s and 30s and at the peak of physical health. Or at least they were until this sinister shot was forced into them. But the Biden regime simply won't quit. Even as the vaccines fail, more and more vaccinated people are showing up in our hospitals, proving that this was never a pandemic of the unvaccinated at all. Thomas Renz is that attorney that you saw there appearing before Senator Johnson. He's been fighting against vaccine mandates and other evil all over the country. He joins us now. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to be with you, Stu. We go from the Quiners being murdered to our soldiers being murdered. I mean, when's this going to end?
This is astonishing news, really. These are jaw-dropping numbers coming from credible sources, eminently qualified doctors, military officers, DOD officials, dropping nukes in front of the world on Capitol Hill. These shots are injuring and killing healthy, young, and fit people. What is the level of credibility? What is the level that the media is looking for, or the public, or the military waiting on before they're willing to listen to these facts?
Well, here's the deal. The DOD medical records are frequently cited as being the most complete, the most accurate, the best that you can get, okay? The health system for the DOD is a very controlled and completely managed thing. So this is as good a data as you can get. There isn't a server that I can go to, I think, that's probably gonna be a whole lot better. There may be some things that we haven't found yet, but this is as credible as it gets. Okay, these guys came forward, even though I have declarations talking about reprisals that they're witnessing or experiencing. They're going to be attacked. They're going to be belittled. They're going to be ripped apart. And these guys still, these are heroes. Teresa, Sam, Pete, these guys are heroes. And God bless them for having the courage to do this. So also, God bless Senator Johnson. And I want to ask your audience, because I know they're active, if you liked what we did, you make sure Senator Johnson feels some love for it. You guys let his audience know that you like particularly our part of the presentation, because, you know, I got a feeling he's going to take some political heat for having done this, and he should be rewarded. So please thank that man for having the courage to do this.
I just can't believe I wake up in the morning, and of course I have to watch Fox because so that my audience doesn't have to. We have to know what they're talking about, obviously, there. And Steve Ducey is ranting and ripping and raving about how he trusts his doctor and that's why he got this shot. Look at what's happening here. I mean, why is the media completely whitewashing the fact that these qualified, eminently qualified doctors with intelligence, real, reliable data, like you said, it doesn't get any more reliable than this, are highlighting in front of a sitting United States senator, brave as he is, and yes, I agree that we should show Senator Ron Johnson a whole lot of love. I'd love for him to come on this program so we can personally thank him. These people are exposing, dropping these bombs of these unprecedented numbers. And we're talking about things I've talked to people off the record, Tom. We're talking about instances in health for soldiers that over the last decade, a 10-year period, certain conditions have been reported maybe a couple of hundred times. We're now looking at 10, 20, 30, even 40,000 of those instances in the last 11 months.
Oh, and by the way, Stu, we have... So there's two things that I really want you to know that I think are bombshell. One, we've downloaded a ton of this data. We have a ton of it. Two, the that server, the DMED server, it seems to be offline today, shockingly. I wonder why. I wonder why, especially in light of the fact that it looks like they had already manipulated the data related to myocarditis and pericarditis. We have, by the way, just for you guys, you know, if you think that you're going to manipulate that data, let me just go on record and tell you this. First of all, we've got copies, including physical copies of this data, and I've got it all over the country. So you can't get it. You can't wipe it out. It's out there. Second of all, that data, we've got data. We've been working on stuff. We're not entirely silly about this. We've got data from different points of time that indicate when and where it's been changed. And so, you know, go ahead. You guys try and cover this up. You're going to dig your hole deeper. My suggestion for anybody that's involved in this is that it's time to come clean, testify, and ask forgiveness rather than permission. You guys need to really come clean. You need to think about this. This is coming down. And guess what? We have put information out, and I've got it shared with people around the country, a number of people, attorneys, non-attorneys, other people. We have information out, and we have a lot more coming that's equally earth-shattering. This cabal, this crooked, corrupt, just nightmare is going to end. We're going to end it. And I can't wait to see these guys brought to justice.
Yeah.
They've murdered our soldiers. They've murdered our children. They're going down.
The only thing that I disagree with that I have to push back on you a little, and I understand that you were in a hearing, but what you said there in front of Senator Ron Johnson as you called for investigations, look, we don't need five-year Benghazi, Trey Gowdy-led nothing burger investigations that lead down this rabbit hole while thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people die. We don't need some Russia hoax investigation. What we need is an immediate full stop to this entire shot program globally, but specifically starting here in the United States. And then the people responsible for pushing this need to be tried. Try them. Indict, try, fry. That's what needs to happen. These people need to be held to account. And if executions or the death penalty are warranted, then they need to be carried out. These people are responsible for killing unprecedented amounts of people, and now they're targeting our soldiers. That is not an accident. You said that you know how and when these things were deleted. Do you know who has been manipulating this data?
No, not for sure. I think that we'll get there. So we've got enough stuff now. We expect the courts to take this serious. We're going to be submitting this plus more to the courts. We've got a whole bunch. Watch for the next couple of weeks, and Stu, I'll be coming back, you know, to share with this audience. But we've got, if you'll have me, but we've got a bunch more coming out. And as this stuff comes out, it's going to be submitted to the courts. We expect the courts to take this serious. We know the courts have been lied to by the CDC for 2 years, and God bless a lot of these judges who've been manipulated on this. But we're going to deal with this.
Do you think Senator Ron Johnson is going to take this thing all the way?
What's that?
Do you think Ron Johnson is going to take this all the way?
Well, Senator Johnson is certainly fighting the fight. And I really appreciate, you know, for him, having me come on and do this was certainly a political risk. And, you know, it shouldn't be. Isn't it ridiculous? I presented truth from the Department of Defense, but the reality is that man had some courage to have me there.
And it's a shame that it takes courage to be able to have the truth broadcast on Capitol Hill. This thing has been completely whitewashed by the corrupt, dishonest media. Not one mention of this hearing, this roundtable in front of Senator Johnson yesterday. This is earth-shattering information. This is groundbreaking. I mean, literally mind-boggling, jaw-dropping, eye-popping, whatever adjectives you want to use. This data is insane.
They're going to end up, so one of two things is going to happen, because, you know, I've been working on this for 2 years now. And, you know, I know I'm some simple guy from Fremont, Ohio, but I'm going to tell you something. We've been doing a lot of work, and we've got a lot of basis to include the mainstream media, a lot of members of the mainstream media, in the collusion that we'll eventually be suing over. You know, this is something, I don't have a huge team or billions of dollars. And we do need your support at rems-law.com, please. But we had to build this very slowly because we don't have enough. We don't. So it's the process is painful and slow. There should be billions of dollars supporting us. There should be endless attorneys. We're starting to get the attorneys. We don't have the funding. So it's much slower. But the more we can do, the better. But I don't care. I don't care if I never make a penny off of this. I don't care. I'm going to keep fighting as fast as I can. And at the end of the day, we'll get to the finish line.
And you know what? Being involved personally with Annie Quiner and Marjorie Holston to save Scott Quiner from the scheduled execution and at least give him the opportunity for some fair treatment. Being involved with Michaela Hughes to get her son Charles away from a death sentence at the coronavirus death panel cult hospital facility. And now he's home, breathing on his own, eating real food, smiling, hugging his daughters. Saved a life there. This audience, combined with your efforts, saved a life. And this is going to be duplicated multiple times. But you go from these individual experiences to now on Capitol Hill, you're traveling all over the place. You're in front of Senator Ron Johnson. You're fighting this thing. You're one guy. And yeah, you're putting together a team. But I was just going to recommend that, please, people help fund this effort. Go to rens-law.com. Just like this program, we're not globalist funded by big, huge conglomerates and Walmarts and Bezos. Okay, we're the little guys. We're the extension of you trying to do this thing. It takes money to run a program like this. And then for Tom Renz to carry out these actions, it takes money. It really does. And so thank you. I mean, I know that you thanked Ron Johnson, and we're going to do that too. I hope everybody in this viewing audience sends an email to the senator, but also to you. We want to extend a personal thanks. And thank you for making the time to be here with us. I know that you're really busy. Tom Renz, appreciate you being here.
It's an honor.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/STU. Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought, and paid-for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
Corinne Lund is a registered nurse who's been one of our top whistleblowers here on the Stu Peters Show regarding events unfolding in our hospitals. Back in September, she told us how hospitals were vaccinating sedated elderly patients without their consent. Last month, she told us how, thanks to our self-inflicted staffing shortages at hospitals, elderly patients were being left in their own fecal matter and urine as overworked nurses struggled to keep up. She told us about doctors and nurses clearly discriminating against unvaccinated patients in their level of care. And it was horrific, the things that she reported these nurses were saying to each other at these nursing stations. And most frightening of all, she told us about a huge surge in strokes, heart attacks, deep vein thrombosis ever since this vaccine rolled out. Well, now Corinne says that she's seeing the inevitable sequel to that surge, the die-off. Corinne says that there are so many bodies piling up that the local morgues have overflowed, and they now have to put extra bodies into trailers in the parking lot at the hospital. She says that people are dying of myocarditis, atrial fibrillation, strokes, respiratory failure, every ailment that you can think of, and they're all brain, heart, and clot related. Weird. Corinne Lund joins us now. Corinne, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So just as we predicted, the bodies are piling up. Now, you worked in the hospital the entire time from the beginning of this pandemic. Did you ever see an uptick in deaths then from the so-called virus?
No, I did not. For the first year of this pandemic, I was working as house supervisor, which enabled me to look at these deaths in the morgue. It was part of my duty to ensure throughput of the decedents. And I didn't see any change at all for that first full year. I was called through funeral homes. They'd pick the patients up within 1 or 2 days. There was no problem. Our morgue bay holds 3 gurneys in the refrigerator. One of the gurneys is a double-decker. So you can say that we have a 4 decedent capacity, 4 morgue bay capacity. And nobody really said anything about the morgue. Nothing was going on. But about 4 months ago, I received email that we were getting new equipment. And there was going to be a go-to person from another part of the system. And this go-to person was requesting a daily report of how many bays were full in the morgue and how many we could put in, how many empties. So what happened initially was they ordered another double-decker gurney. So we have 2 double-decker gurneys, and they essentially turned a 3-bay morgue into a 5-bay morgue overnight. And I thought, you know, that's kind of odd. But I didn't really pay much attention to it. I did think that it was kind of odd, too, that I suddenly had to report how many morgue bays were in use and how many we had empty. That was kind of a strange thing for me to report. And then, after a while, we got another report that they were going to put a trailer into our parking lot at the front entrance of the hospital, which has been closed off to the public since the pandemic. So this trailer showed up, and 1 week later, this trailer has a 10 morgue bay capacity. It's already full. It's already up to 9 patients as of this week. It's only been a week. And these patients are being brought in from the other facilities that are in this hospital system. And the other facilities, one of them has a 10-bay morgue. The others have like 5 and 3. But what's happening is there's an uptick in deaths across the system to the point where they're having to put this morgue in the parking lot to facilitate the patient's throughput. This is unheard of. Suddenly people are dying. And I think this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. This just started. It's only been up for a week.
Well, it's not a surprise to any of us. And we've been reporting that this was going to happen. This is massive organ failure. This is antibody-dependent enhancement. All of the things that they tell you are side effects that they've now had to admit are side effects that are commonly known as being side effects. These are the things that these people are dying of. So clearly, we have critical thinking abilities here. We can say that these people are more than likely dying from these shots. There's nothing else that has changed in the community. How long are these bodies staying in the trailer? Obviously, loved ones, family members, they have funeral preparations and ceremonies and, you know, celebrations of life and things like that happening. So how long are they staying there and then being replaced by new dead bodies?
Well, it's taking funeral homes 1 to 2 days, maybe 3 days to pick them up. They're trying to make this a rapid event. And there is a backup funeral delivery system, if you would, that comes and picks patients up if they don't have a family home, a funeral home picked. So they're staying maybe 2-3 days in the trailer.
What would happen to you if your hospital facility knew that you were here on the program talking about this?
I'm sure I would be reprimanded. I'm sure. Maybe even fired. This is really kind of uncomfortable for me, but it's something that I think that everybody needs to know, that there is an uptick in deaths. Where I work in this part of the country, there's a very high vaccination rate. So the patients that are dying off are vaccinated. It's not just, and they're all saying the same thing. They're blaming it on the Omicron, which really disturbs me, because as a nurse, when I'm dealing with my patients, I see the COVID results as positive or negative. They're either detective or they're not detected. Nowhere does it say Omicron or, you know, Omega or any other kind of variant that they're coming up with. So the fact that they're blaming this on an Omicron variant, it's just very disturbing to me. Now, how can anybody say that? How can any of my colleagues turn around and say, hey, yeah, it's the Omicron? How do you know? I don't know. How does anybody know? This is just really disturbing. The vaccinated patients are dying off. It's
plain and simple. We know that the PCR test, the failed PCR test, the recalled PCR test has a 97% false positive rate. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's unheard of. Why would we still be using something like that? And then there's no specific test to my knowledge, you're the RN, you can tell me, is there a specific test to differentiate between COVID-19, Delta, Omicron, any of those things?
No. And that's the thing that's very disturbing to me. It says that COVID-19 is either detected or not detected, period. And everybody's getting the same lab results. So I cannot understand why my colleagues are telling me that there's an Omicron variant that's killing people off.
Now, we have scientists that come on this program and other experts, doctors, analysts, things like that, who have told us that viruses burn down. Naturally, that's what they do. They get weaker until they're ultimately eventually just gone. The Omicron variant, although be it we're told, is spreading more rapidly, it's also very weak and it's not life-threatening like other variants supposedly we have told were. I don't believe any of this nonsense. I think it's all complete garbage. I think the whole thing is a lie, and the people responsible for perpetuating this big lie ought to be fried. I think that's what should ultimately end up happening. But let's just entertain this for a minute. If viruses burn down, how can Omicron be blamed for all of these deaths, Corinne?
It can't. I mean, critical thinking. Come on. It can't be. And again, how do we know this? We are not testing for variants. We aren't. I don't know. You know, I just, it's, that's what's very disturbing to me, that I feel like my colleagues are dumbing down. They're just walking lockstep with whatever the CDC says.
So that's just the big takeaway here. Let's just talk about the facts. The fact is, you were a house supervisor at this hospital throughout the entire first year of the pandemic. You saw no uptick in deaths. People weren't dropping over, clutching their chests, stop breathing in the supermarket. We weren't stepping over dead bodies piled up like cordwood in the middle of the streets. The thing didn't kill everybody like the media told us that it was going to, like the government told us it was going to. That just didn't happen. And the reason why the hospital system broke wasn't because it was overflooded with dying and critical COVID patients, but it was our own self-inflicted hospital system breaking, which was we required these shots of everybody so they either cannot perform the duties anymore because they're injured or dead, or they quit in the face of these mandates because nurses and educated people knew that these shots were going to kill people. And now we do have a huge uptick in deaths, and the cause of death is this atrial fibrillation and myocarditis and strokes and clots and other heart issues, which we all know are common side effects of the shots. So point blank, the overflow of bodies at the morgue that has now resulted in refrigerated trailers at the front entrance of hospital buildings are full of people who were killed by the shots. Period.
Period. That is correct. That's, you know, I can't come up with another explanation. And we did not have this before. Now suddenly we do.
Well, I know that you said that you're uncomfortable being here, but that you felt like you needed to. You're not even asking for us to protect your anonymity, which I think is incredibly brave. And it just tells us where your priorities lie. We need to save lives. People need to be aware of this. The gig is up. The game is over. The lights are on. No more darkness. The shots are killing people. Corinne Lund, I'm out of time. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Can I say one quick thing?
Yes,
the National Guard. The National Guard is here to help with alleviate the overcrowding of the hospitals. I just want to let the general public know that for the past two decades, hospitals have been running at and above capacity. So this is ridiculous. And they're putting them in very public places they're putting them out in the parking lot and at the front end of the emergency department to answer phones. I don't see how that's going to alleviate any kind of overflow.
It's for optics. That's what this is.
It is.
It's just to make it look like there is a crisis, but the crisis is manufactured. It's man-made. And by the way, I don't want to confuse people with capacity. You said that hospitals have been working at over capacity for a year or 2 years. That is not because...
For two decades.
For two decades, And this is not because every room is full. That's not what you mean by capacity. That means that there is only enough healthcare workers that can provide for a certain amount of people. Is that right? I mean,
correct.
You walk into a hospital,
correct. You're
not seeing every bed full and there's nowhere to go.
Right.
It's because we don't have the workers there to do it. And that's because we're mandating these dangerous shots for the people who we asked to be on the front lines and be subjected to God knows what before we knew anything about all of this in the first place. It's a big pandemic. It's a big scam. It's the biggest hoax ever. And the people responsible for it should be indicted, tried, and fried. Corinne Lund, thank you again very much for being
here. Thank you very much.
All right, nobody else is going to do this. We have to blast this message out everywhere. Full transparency, blowing up the narrative on these shots is incredibly important. We have to save lives. Christopher Key is doing that. Vaccine-police.com. Please go there right now and help fund this organization. Vaccine-police.com. They're putting up billboards in major metropolitan areas. He's driving around in a Ford Mustang with vaccine police all over it. The death toll on the back window. Red-pilling people who have no idea because of the dishonest media. Seriously, there are people going about their days who have no idea that these shots are dangerous bioweapons that are killing people. Vaccine police are making people aware of that, and they need funding just like everything else. It's a cause that actually means something. It's moving the ball, and it's making a difference. Billboards up everywhere. Christopher Key in front of lawmakers causing scenes, actually, because that's what we have to do, in front of these lawmakers, hospital administrators, with these pharmacists that are injecting your loved ones with this bioweapon, because everybody's got loved ones that didn't listen to you, don't you? Make them aware through other means. Billboards and other things as well, the cars, all of it. That's what the Vaccine Police does. Please help us fund it. Vaccine-police.com. Again, vaccine-police.com.
You asked for it, so we delivered. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, exclusively for premium users on redvoicemedia.com. Propaganda busting, groundbreaking interviews, and real medical truth. The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, for premium users at redvoicemedia.com.
Well, last week we talked with Dr. Brian Artis and Dr. Lee Vliet, who told us about the financial incentives that our government and our hospitals have created, which encourage them to abuse patients like Scott Quiner until they wither away and die from a virus that they should have easily survived. This is a pattern that we've seen over and over again. COVID case, remdesivir, ventilator, death. Sean Dickens believes that his mother was killed by these intentionally broken protocols for profit, and now his brother-in-law's father is in the hospital and on the same timeline, and he fears that they may do this to him as well. Dickens joins us now. Sean, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it, and we're sorry for the loss of your mom.
Well, thank you, Stu. Appreciate it.
So, I mean, I think the big story here, this is shocking. There's so much more to this. Your mother suffered from dementia. You're her son. She's unable to make decisions on her own at all. You were also her legal medical power of attorney and primary care provider. These doctors completely ignored you. They cut you off. They separated your mother from your supervision, from your care, and they killed her. They got her alone. They secluded her from any protection. And when she was vulnerable, they killed her in the dark, away from any eyes watching. Is that right?
That's pretty accurate. No visitation, so that makes it in the dark.
And what excuse did they use for this no visitation rule?
She has COVID, and that's hospital policy.
I mean, it just seems mind-boggling to me. This is a situation where they're now killing off our elderly and our patients that are suffering from cognitive, you know, disabilities, and they're asking her for what her care protocol should be. They're getting consent from a person who doesn't remember even having the conversation with the doctors. Take us through this. I mean, how did this happen?
Your guess is as good as mine how it happened. The assisted living facility that she was living in took her to the emergency room. They know she had dementia. They know she had COPD. The emergency room did what they wanted to do and then told us the next day that they did it. One of the three or four phone calls we got the whole time. I kept asking the question, where are you getting informed consent from? I said, oh, well, Sandy gave it to us. I said, she can't give it to you. She's got dementia.
She's a vulnerable adult. I mean, she relies on other people to care for her and make these decisions when she's not in the hospital. I mean,
that's
right?
That's why she was in assisted living. That was the whole idea of assisted living, was she couldn't make all those decisions for herself anymore.
How was your mom's physical health prior to going into the hospital? I mean, was she a fighter? Was she strong? Was she able to fight off things like, you know, viruses that 99.998% of people who contract the thing survive?
She's a fighter. She got into a car wreck. Actually, a car hit her when she was crossing the street a year earlier. 28 broken bones, and she fought her way back from that. So she was tough, tough as nails. The COVID got her. I think the hospitals had a big help with that. But up until just a couple of weeks prior, she was out running around for Christmas dinners and gift exchanges and things like that. No issues. Her memory issues didn't have a problem with her doing stuff. She just didn't remember things that she did last week. She couldn't remember my grandson's name, things like that. But she was tough as nails and still very aware of her situation. And she would give you permission to do things, but she wouldn't remember she did it the next day.
Do you believe that had she not gone to the hospital and that she were cared for with other treatments earlier on, had you caught this thing ahead of time, Do you believe that she would have had more of a chance to fight this than actually going into the hospital? I mean, do you think the hospital is responsible for weakening her and ultimately killing her?
I don't think the hospital is following a good protocol to kill this thing and beat COVID with anybody. I ask about not using remdesivir, but then ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and any of those other treatments, and the hospital said absolutely not. If we could have gotten those to her the day of or the day after she was diagnosed in the memory center, then I think she'd have been here today and we'd have been talking with her instead of you talking to me.
And these stories are getting repeated over and over again, and it's shocking to me. I'm not surprised, actually, but the fact that I'm talking to you is actually an atrocity in and of itself. You have a mother who has dementia. And so what does this say to you as far as the big picture culturally, what this plan is? You know, when you look at younger people being forced into these shots, the military being purged, we heard from Thomas Renz earlier, young people that are healthy and fit in their 20s and 30s at the peak of their physical health are now suffering with heart conditions, heart failure conditions, 300% increase in miscarriages. From a shot that was designed by a person who stood in front of the world and told you that they think only 500 million people should be on the planet and they need to depopulate it, but people are running out to get this shot anyways. So you have young people being forced into an inoculation that's causing an unprecedented amount of injury and death. And now you have older people, elderly people, vulnerable people, and now mentally handicapped people, people, vulnerable adults being seemingly killed off intentionally for a profit in these hospitals. What's the big picture here?
The big picture is they have a plan and they're going to do it no matter who tries to stand in their way. And they're being maybe not coddled, but they are being protected by the federal government who is supposed to be on our side. And unless you've got a fighter right there, right then, when you first get it, and you have some alternative ways of getting drugs or getting, you know, any of these other treatments, you're gone. They're going to take you and it doesn't matter what you say.
Well, this happened at a Baptist hospital in your town, and now your brother-in-law's father has been admitted to a Baptist hospital with inside of that Baptist system in another part of the city, and you fear that he's going to be subjected to these same NIH protocols, these Tony Fauci protocols, with the administration of a toxic and poisonous renal failure causing kidney shutdown causing remdesivir, which the hospitals, it says right in NIH documents, get a huge incentive to administer that instead of the very affordable, Nobel Prize winning, multiple decades long, off-label prescribed, proven, tested, and tried ivermectin.
That's absolutely correct. That's exactly what they're doing. Matter of fact, I just heard that my brother-in-law's father is now on palliative care with multiple system failure. And they followed the exact same treatment regimen you're talking about.
So we have a funnel. We have a funnel. We take generally healthy people who should have no problems defeating this weak set of symptoms being branded and marketed as a product now, making people billionaires all over the world, called COVID-19, forcing lockdowns. And the people responsible for this should absolutely be tried. Okay. And so we have these people who would normally beat these things, and then we put them into this fatal funnel where we weaken their systems. We cause these serious organ shutdowns. We sedate them to a point where they cannot breathe on their own. Then we put them on a ventilator. But the big picture here is the removal of any kind of support system, right? I mean, don't you see that as one of the main contributing factors? If there is a watchful eye there, how much of this could really be happening? If you were able to go visit your mother and monitor her and be there with her and see the condition that she was in physically and watch her deteriorate, you would have never let her slip into that. No way.
No.
What loved one would do that?
None. None at all. And I think it's part of the big treatment plan. They get you in there and they, oh, now you can't have visitors because you have COVID. You're going to catch it. You're going to spread it. And then they do anything they want to. And then they have the nurses report to you, oh, they're doing a little bit worse today. Oh, they had a little bit of food, but their color's not as good. Well, that doesn't tell me anything.
That doesn't tell me anything at all.
They're mentally preparing you to lose your loved one and accept the fact that it was COVID-19 that killed your mom. Was it COVID-19 that killed your mom, or was it the renal failure causing remdesivir combined with the sedatives and the ventilator and the lack of nutrition? Did your mom get any nutrition?
No nutrition, nothing like TPN or lipids or anything like that. They gave her sugar water in her veins.
Sean, how old were you when your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your mother first told you when you're sick, you better start eating your chicken soup and take your vitamin C?
At the very youngest age I can remember, my mom was a full believer in the chicken soup.
I mean, because that's nutrition, right? I mean, you get the protein right that you need, you get the nutrients that you need, you get the vitamins that you need, that your body needs under regular conditions, much less when you're sick. Or hospitalized and being sick, you're trying to fight a virus that is attacking your system, and you are depraved and deprived of any nutrients at all. That's intentional killing. That's murder, is what that is. Since when do doctors shoo away vitamins and nutrition for patients who are fighting something? It's insane. The separation between you and your mother was absolutely 100% intentional. She's doing nothing to spread the virus. I've got about 30 seconds left here. I just want to get your final words.
Well, my final words are, don't let your loved ones go to the hospital. If you can treat them at home, or you can treat them at some clinic, get that. Go to somewhere where you can get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. You can make that, at least. And then chicken soup. Get them healthy. Keep them that way. But don't let these doctors touch them, especially in these big hospital situations.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to give people like you a voice so that others are aware that this is happening all over the place, so that they know the signs to look for when this kind of thing starts happening early on, and hopefully they can catch it. Sean Dickens, again, we're sorry for the loss of your mother. We're praying for you, and we'll be praying for your brother-in-law's father as well, as he's dealing with what appears to be the same deadly cocktail intentionally designed to kill people in our nation's hospitals that have become the new death camps, the new ovens, the killing right fields. Can't believe it. That's life in America in 2022. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.
Thank you, Stu. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Branch Covidians have turned our cities into super shedder capitals. The jab that becomes self-spreading bioweapons, threatening the purebloods.
I was incapacitated. I was literally laying down the entire day with a terrible migraine. I actually passed clots, which obviously is insanely alarming.
Clots?
Yes.
The clot shot is ending careers, detonating bombs in the brains of pilots.
Dozens, maybe north of 100 commercial airline pilots have died within just a few days of being vaccinated. Dead.
But don't despair. There's an answer to protect you and your kids from the chimerically engineered symptoms. Forget the forever boosters. Fortify your immune system today with the Z-Stack from Dr. Zev Zelenko. One pill formula taken twice a day. Everything you need to fight back against bioweapons, RSV, and influenza B. ZStackProtocol.com. Stock up now. Be prepared. Stand ready. ZStackProtocol.com.
They all need to be indicted, tried, and fried if they were responsible for any of this. They're coming after your freedom. They're coming after your loved ones. They're killing them in the hospitals. They're coming after your retirement. They're coming after your entire investment portfolio. Everything that they can do, they're going to rob this freedom, liberty, and money from you. That's the subject of today's Money Minute with Carlos Cortez, who's nodding his head in agreement. They are coming for all of it. You have ways to keep a lot of this safe. I've been telling people, do not trust these communists at these big broker firms, these big banks, these big household name financial advisor firms. Do business with a Jesus-loving, God-fearing, independent fiduciary like Carlos Cortez, Cortez Wealth Management. By the way, before we get started, book your appointment by going to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Tonight, immediately following this show, right here in a few minutes, Carlos Cortez hosting for free the America First Retirement Plan. So go to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos, what are you going to be teaching tonight?
We've got a bunch of webinars on the pipeline. So excited. And then this is all coming into fruition, what we've been talking about late last year into now.
Weird.
We have a Luciferian Fed that wants to mess up the market and manipulate it, it seems like. But, you know, we have these 1,000-point swings. This is crazy. And if you don't have a system in place, if you don't have a seatbelt on your investments, you are crazy. You are crazy. We're giving a lifeline out to our patriotic listeners. Get your stuff in order. Get your principal protection. Get insurance on your money. Get tactical management. Get your butt out of those crazy IRAs that are going to be taxed because socialism is here, like Venezuela. It's here. These idiots want to push it. So
it's socialism, it's communism, it's fascism, and all the anti-fascists are the ones who are actually the fascists. And this is the ushering in of full and complete subservience from a global population, really, but here so in the United States, there's something that you can do about it. You got to protect your financial future. I mean, everything that you have worked for, that you're planning on leaving your kids, that you're planning on using for your retirement, buying that vacation home, that condominium, kicking your feet up, inheritance, your kids' post-secondary education, all these things, everything that you have ever worked for, you have to protect it.
That's correct.
AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Again, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos Cortez, thank you so much for being here and for being a patriot. Until this time, tomorrow, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do...